All right, hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. I am really excited today, not only to be talking to some literally brothers that are dealing with music and healing and transformation, but utilizing the voice. But before we get started, I wanted to read a brief little bio intro, and then we'll just dive right in. So the brothers Corin, which I'm honored to have here today, are transformational voice leaders, music mentors, and artists passionate about hearing the world's song, one voice at a time. Having performed their original music to over 1 million people, touring with the likes of Pink, Coldplay, Rod Stewart, as the kin, the brothers now focusing on fostering first time and reclaiming voices of all walks of life, especially those who thought they couldn't. The brothers are journeymen and guides for those seeking a deeper connection and healing through the profound medium of voice, music, and song. So you can see why I'm super excited to have you two on today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for taking the time to show up and share what you guys are all about. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Mark. A pleasure to be here with
Thank you,
you.
Mark.
Thank
Yes,
you.
it's so great to meet someone, in a similar path and someone who's, also blazed this path, for us and future sound healers that want to bring voice and music and song to the masses. So
I'm sure, as you know,
I'm
it's an
stoked.
entertaining, ever educational journey of unfolding as we step into this. But I think the place I always love with any artist is what inspired you guys to become artists, to become singers? What was kind of like the catalyst that really launched you, not only one of you, but both of you down that pathway?
Yeah, we got into music separately. We first, I think, at the core of our, pathway was our mother. Our mother was in the original Pacific touring cast of Hair.
Oh,
The
wow.
original broad, when it first was on Broadway, there was a couple touring casts at the same time, and she was in one of them, discovered on the street busking with Colin Hay before Men at Work existed. And so she was like a real deal hippie, not necessarily a musician, but a wild expression. And she followed her theater roots for a period of time, then had kids, left it to the wayside. And it wasn't until we were kind of early teenagers and young kids that she had this crazy wild gut feeling pre-internet to leave to New York City to follow this feeling she had to reclaim. She didn't say reclaim her voice, but we now can look back.
Enter abandonment wounds
Yeah,
for both
we
of us.
definitely were sacredly wounded by our mother for sure. And we
Welcome
followed
to
her. Yeah,
the
there you go. Yeah,
That's why
exactly.
we're doing this. Oh, no,
Mom
joking.
wounds unite. So she
Well, cut to
left.
you.
Yeah.
That's mom.
Yeah, well, she left and we followed one by one. And we actually came separately. I came to study music and I went to Performing Arts High School in New York City, studied jazz with like quite literally some legends that were playing with Dizzy Gillespie or learned from Dizzy Gillespie's camp at the time. And I was immersed in jazz at that point. And meanwhile, Isaac has an incredible story about how he found his voice, which he'll tell you. But then we reunited together. So it was just like these paths opened where music, I should say, really saved us both in different ways, gave us voice. And particularly, and I think this is at the core of our work with people all around the world, is that song, music, and voice gave us a safe space to feel what was not being fully digested. And so, like always, this ancient rite of music is a place to unravel trauma and to be heard, to be seen, to be reflected. So we got into music separate. Isaac will tell you his story. But it's always been that for us. It's always been this calling. I never had a backup plan. I was just always gonna do this.
Yeah, well, Torold was actually always the musician of the family, and I was going to be a lawyer up until I finished high school and decided, no, I'm not. but at 15, right around this traumatic moment that we share together, that bonded us together somehow, mommy left, yeah. But right around that time that our hearts were shattered, my best friend Yaniv, God bless Yaniv, he, such a great player. He was just 14, 15, just like, real feel guy, just like always moving both fingers somehow and his hair. And it was like an August
It's like a backyard
backyard
jam
party,
party,
which
yeah.
is winter in Australia. And so
Yeah.
we're sitting in the back of a ute, which is a pickup truck. And he was jamming and he looked at me and I was, probably had a beer in hand. It was like, doing what you do in a backyard jam, just close your eyes and go into the music. And I think having mum, who she is, and also dad's side, he's the only one that's non-musical, but he hums all day and he plays a mad pots and pans with he's always drumming. So he's very musical. Both of his brothers are actual, you know, professional musicians. So it's a lot of music in both sides. Anyway, so I'm musical, but I didn't really know it. I just kind of took for granted that my DNA was so musical. And so I'm in the music, getting into it, and he looks at me getting into it, and he's like, "Sing for me, Zach." I was like, okay. Went for it, dared to suck, and started wailing the blues and found my voice for the first time in front of all my mates. And all my mates were in Yanib's band, and he looked at me and was like, "I didn't know you could sing." I was like, "I can't sing." He's like, "What? I just heard you." And he's like, "No, actually," and you made sure everyone was listening, he was like, "I want you to sing for our band and I'll teach you the lyrics. We got a gig in 2 weeks." And so I was, you know, long story short, I was hooked, but I still was going to be the lawyer. And, you know, long story short, that didn't happen, but I took a year off from my studies and went into music, found, you know, a whole new kind of language within myself. And then, you know, like a good eldest child, went back to my studies and went and did a degree that I didn't really have a lot of passion for, but it was the right thing to do. Year and a half into it, I realized I was depressed, isolated, and I'd even gotten physically sick. And so I, long story short, sung myself back to health from that moment, pulled my keyboard out of the closet. And it is really important for the work we do today, because I realized how actually, especially when music is a passion of yours, as something that brings you
that's
joy,
calling you. Yeah.
It feeds your soul, and it's not everyone, but a lot of people, then you got to do it for your health and well-being. So I sung myself back to health, but Torrid and I started as artists because our dad was getting remarried and we didn't know what to get our dad. We were broke teenagers.
And we were both making music separate. And so we got together and started harmonizing, and
and it was the harmony, the phenomenology of harmony itself, which is where two, you know, notes that are pleasing to each singer create this third entity, this entity that's experienceable by both of us from our different vantage points.
Yeah, where 1 + 1 is more than 2, right? There's a space between, there's a resonance that happens between the notes. Which has become a new fascination of ours. And the last 6 months, we've been really obsessed with harmony, like really for the first time, even though we've sung in harmony for 30 years, almost coming up to 30 years, which is unbelievable. But yeah, so that's a bit about how we became, you know, the musicians, the artists, and ultimately, you know, really just lovers of the embodied voice, you know, really, at the core of everything we do is to help someone form a new beautiful relationship to being home in this.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because you really kind of started off in this like traditional way of expressing. I mean, come on, you toured with Pink and Coldplay. I mean, that is like the traditional music arena. What was the catalyst that said, hey, wait a second, we can begin to work with other people about tapping into their voice? Yeah. What really kind of drove you to shift over into this healing and transformational arena and kind of break away from that, you know, shall we say, traditional model?
Oh, it was a slow shift.
But can we just acknowledge how beautiful you, it was such a succinct question for that. And a lot of people don't ask it that clearly, but it wasn't us. It was a song that visited us. So we answered a call, you know, not to get too woo-woo, but it was literally on the heels of a breakdown. And Isaac and I had come out to LA to write for other people. And we followed a gut feeling out to LA to write what we thought was in the pop songwriting world. And we had a team and we were
starting. Which was that, not to interrupt you, but that was the first kernel of us moving away from just pure artist and into putting our foot, invited by our A&R, because we were signed to Interscope. And he was like, why don't you, while you're doing this, because you guys can write songs, why don't you just write for others as well? And we were like, okay. You know, it started, can we have some writers come in with you guys? And then the conversation went to, okay, can you write for others? So it slowly morphed into the possibility of us as not just these, you know, artists with, you know, blinkers on.
But it was a, you know, for me, it was a really strong gut feeling that we were meant to foster and nurture other voices through stories. And we'd been doing it, Mark, in our spare time with people. We'd sit down with someone who was writing a film and we're like, they're like, you know, maybe you could, one of your songs could make the documentary. And we're like, how about we meet tomorrow for breakfast and you tell us all about what the song of this film is. And then we'd sit down and we'd realize it was about something in their life and there'd be tears and suddenly they would co-write the song that would be in the end credits. So we actually wrote a bunch of songs accidentally for particularly documentary film. And so we realized that we were really naturally brothers that wanted to mine people for their stories. And so we brought that to the songwriting world, and it was a couple months in that we recognized this is definitely not it. And it happened to be the same afternoon we had just spent a whole day writing with lovely young people that we didn't know, and everyone had no idea what who we were writing for. And everyone was like, well, whose manager or A&R is going to get it to Bieber, this person or that person? And we realized it was just a, it was not just a waste of our energy, but it was not what was calling us forward.
It wasn't, it was, there was no connection to our purpose, you know, our soul wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And so I think it was me. I was like, just wanted to check. Did you enjoy that? Is this it for you? You know, like, is this aligned with you? And he was like, And no. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, it was such a relief to know that we were both feeling this and that we were both officially in a breakdown. And so we called it, we declared it, getting lost to the next session.
The next morning, we slept on this terrible feeling. Like, terrible. What are we doing out here?
We had young family.
Isaac had a young son at the time. So it was like, it was no joke. We're like, what are we doing if we're not touring and we're not enjoying this? So this idea came to us in one moment that next day. It was, what if we became someone's brothers? And what if we set up this beautiful arc where we would nurture and foster someone through guided game studies? What if we mentored them? What if we brought all of my embodied voice coaching, which I've been doing since New York 20 years ago? What if Isaac brought all his mentoring and study of what we call musical cosmology? What if we like brought everything together into this game, like almost like you were partly in a movie of your own creation? What if we held up this creative reflective mirror and said, let's get completely obsessed and fascinated with what makes you you for months, and then let's co-create song. So we put this idea together. The quick version is the rest is history. We found someone who said yes 2 weeks later, and off we went one person at a time. And we recognized really quickly, Mark, that this wasn't for a young first-time artist. This was for anyone that wanted to get to know themselves and go deeper into song.
Well, we've learned so much about everything, including ourselves, but about music, about the creative process, about humans, right? And our basic desire and need to be seen, heard, recognized, valued, witnessed, understood, you know, to be understood, to be seen, to be heard, to be loved unconditionally in your voice, to be known through the music you love. Like, these are all life-changing experiences we've discovered because we didn't know this beforehand. We were kind of blind to really music's transformative impact until we actually saw the effect on others in front of us, you know?
Yeah.
So let me kind of macro out on you a little bit here. So please, how do you guys feel that voice and music can help transform the world? I mean, if more and more of us got into this innate part of us and moved past our fears and our resistances to expressing that, it's a possibility. See, like I always say, your music can transform the world. In fact, that's the catalyst for changing the world that we live in. That's my own take, but what do you think? How do you think voice and music can help change the planet?
I mean, I would say, because if everybody turned back inward, that knew they had a song inside them, that knew that had a voice that they could reclaim, right, and reconnect both to their power, their wilderness, their body itself, which a lot of people have been scared out of and disassociated from, they could turn inward and stop disclaiming their value, and that they could find both metaphorically and literally the song inside them and explore the music that's been calling them with no attachment to the result it produces on the world or the marketplace, and actually heal that virus of pop culture and the entertainment world that said it has to sound good, look good, and be competitive and comparable. And they turned inward and found their music and just simply shared it because they're proud of it.
Mm.
It would create such a mind-blowingly powerful wave of health, wellness, and vitality that I think the world would shift based purely on that, not Spotify numbers. It would be based purely on a shift in wellness to me.
And there's some great science out there that, you know, John Stuart Reed, faculty of Shift Network with us, and he's shown that singing increases the oxygenation in the blood, the nitric oxide that really, you know, is so part of our respiratory health. And then perhaps most importantly, the vagal nerve stimulation is like nothing else. When we, you know, particularly humming, sending our voice inward, having an inner experience, you know, meditation changes the shape of our brain, and there's endless studies on it now. And singing is, and can be, particularly can be, when we sing kind of mindfully and inwardly, have an inward experience of our voice, is meditation. And it's kind of meditation with some gasoline thrown on it, because, you know, we are vibration, we are resonance, so it stimulates that. But I love Tarot's answer, and it's so beautiful and at a micro level, because that's the grassroots change that we're always looking for,
right?
Because change is going to happen in an individual, and it can only happen that way. And I want to answer your question by saying it's already changing the world. You know, I look at the great artists of history as shamans. You know, what's the difference? They're magicians, they're healers. I mean, look at, you know, John Legend's Imagine. How can one say that, you know, it's already John Lennon's Imagine, it's already changed.
It was legendary.
Yeah, it's already still changing the world.
Yeah.
And bringing a frequency, a resonance, an awareness, consciousness. So music holds consciousness. And so, yeah, there's amazing medicine that can be bonded with the sound waves that our brain, thanks to our ancestors, thank you ancestors for evolving and continuing this musical practice, because it's so deeply in our brains that, you know, we experience such cohesion, wholeness, and like Tarot said, create a safe space to be these emotionally complex and vocal mammals that we are. And so if we're not giving ourselves music, if we're not giving ourselves some relationship, whether it's just I listen to music constantly or I actually participate in the ritual of playing, it doesn't really matter, perhaps. It's whatever feels good to you, whatever brings you joy, but it's connecting to all of this evolutionary prowess that the humans have because of music. It's arguably, you know, our evolutionary step. Darwin, so many different thinkers from then on.
So that being said, that sounds great, but it's almost like inherent within all of us to one degree or another, there's this fear or block that shows up about expressing that aspect and really tuning into that music that's within each and every one of us. With your experience and your background, like if you were label the number one fear that gets in the way of stopping people from sharing their music, what would it be?
Good enough would be the
non-starter, right? Yeah,
it's the, but here's disconnect. Why here's why it shows up, because it's more of a virus of culture. It's not good enough because we've lived with music, song, voice being in a comparative and competitive realm, because that's what the music industry did consciously. Probably not. It's an accident. Is there great artists that have been supported? Absolutely. But is the mechanism at play, I have to make sure what it is that I have to express is going to be received and celebrated. Unfortunately, it's been treated like the NFL. I'm very passionate about helping people realize we can pop that. So you have to risk it being enough. I think that's the big. Then we find that there's four others, but that maybe with the time we have,
I think not good enough is great. I mean, huge. Or unworthy, you know, my voice doesn't matter is probably the second
biggest
one. And
then it's not perfect,
or I'm unsafe, or I'm too much. Those are the top five.
Or five.
Not good enough, unsafe, unworthy, got to be perfect, or I'm too much tend to come up all the time as a choir of we call small voices that jump out at various stages of the, you know, expressive process. Or creative process.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's an inherent frequency that's been programmed into humanity.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Something on all levels that we all deal with to one degree or another. We don't think we're enough. We don't think we matter. And, you know, I know this life is a contrasting experience. We get to experience the high of highs, the lows of lows, the being enough and the not being enough. They both intertwine with each other to give us this wacky ride we call the human experience.
Yeah.
But it is a necessary thing. So that being said, what are some of the steps that you recommend that you share with people to help them to move past that story of not enoughness and everything that attached to the other five things? What are some of the things that you recommend that people take on that they can begin to do right away?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Beautiful. The first thing we like to say to everyone that is experiencing, and everyone does experience these small voices from what we see, is to recognize that there's nothing wrong and there's nothing to fix. Mm. And that jumps you out of the whole paradigm that is you're caught in, right? If you can accept yourself as you are, and that this is just breadcrumbs to a greater transformation, then you're on a different story. You're already in a different story and a possibility of transformation rather than heal. Mm. I mean, healing is misleading because you're already there and it's just integrating what is.
Another way to say that is we believe if you shift your relationship to these parts of you, most of us have been trying to get rid of or fix these inhibitive parts of ourselves to get ready to move forward. Yeah. But we believe that if you can have them, and what we have, we don't have to be, we can bring them, scoop them under our wing. So I would say these three quick steps. One is, can you hear that small voice? Can you hear that part that feels not good enough? Mm-hmm. Notice when it triggers. Notice when you get stopped from sharing because you don't think it's perfect enough because you've been comparing yourself to Adele or something that is no one ever. She certainly doesn't want you to compare yourself to her, right? You're non-comparable.
You mentioned Adele, and I was just thinking about her because she shares about it. She has crippling anxiety, yeah, right. And you know, probably I'm unsafe. We don't know, but some kind of complex of small voices that, even though she's revered as the greatest singer of a generation, she's experiencing these small voices ones. Deeply, yeah. And it's part of the way we see it. Our bias is that those small voices or that suffering is part of the beauty that we love.
Yeah.
Red as feeling.
The three steps though, hear them, which means have them. Because if you can hear them, there's a small amount of objective space now. You're not being subjected, you're being objective. And then can you parent them? Can you give them a name? Can you give them a cuddle? Can you invite them under your wing as you say to those parts of you, hey, I got it. These small voices or these inhibitions were born in the wake of times that stuff didn't go well or perceived to not go well. But this time we've got this, and I've got you as we've got this. And so the final step there is to sing out anyway, to share anyway, to do it anyway, to do it in a small step, not a large magnitude step, which requires 3 months off in summer. Do it in some simple way that gets the ball rolling.
Mm. And in essence, it becomes a behavioral practice where you're just gathering small voice positive experiences over time that slowly become, oh, I've actually had more positive experiences recently than negative ones. Cool. And that shifts your behavior over time. And so it's not a quick fix and there's nothing to fix.
That's nice. I like that.
Absolutely. We are unveiling, realizing that we already are enlightened, divine, magnificent expressions of life. Mm. Kind of covered up with all kinds of limiting stories and parent situations and different things that have hidden the masterpiece. I always say that.
That's nice.
Kind of like how Michelangelo revealed David within the block of marble. He didn't carve him, just remove the pieces that weren't the truth of who and what he was. You know, and I think that's the human journey. That's the evolution and the spiritual unfolding. Now,
beautiful.
Sounds to me that, okay, we work past our fears, we get in there, we commit ourselves to working with our voice. How can that help us to release some of those traumas, those unresolved issues that all of us have embedded within our field, within our tissues, within our very essence. How can the voice help us to release that?
Such a good question. I love your question.
We are all resonance. If anyone believes that, I mean, it's science-based. Resonance is what we are down to the very quark, the cell, the cellular water. So when we resonate, the resonance, we're not trying to sound good, but we're actually moving to what has gone unsounded. And we feel what's gone unfelt. And we give ourselves the transparency and vulnerability enough to feel how we've been feeling that we've been holding back. And we give it sound in the caring bed of music in any capacity, be it a sing-along, your own songs, along with a track or in a choir, whatever it is, to give yourself space to sound out you that's gone unsounded. What occurs is the resonance resonates long enough to metabolize trauma real time, and nature takes its course. So the answer to your question is yes, and yes, and yes.
Yeah.
You know, we can sing ourselves back to health by letting ourselves sing out who we are that we've held back singing.
Yeah. I would answer, that's beautiful. I would add yes and to that beautiful response. A couple of things. One is that the greatest thinkers of all time have said, know thyself. Mm-hmm. And music gives us this reflective mirror to do just that and add beauty to the shadows, right? Because some of my favorite songs are grounded perhaps in the suffering of the artist or the songwriter, and but then given transformation in front of me, with me, you know, mm-hmm. takes me with them, and I get to transform in that moment too. And so that's part of it, knowing thyself. And then on the other side, more, I guess, science-based, is that we're complex vocal learners, and we're one of eight or so, eight or nine on the planet. Whales, for example, dolphins are also starlings, and songbirds. And one of the attributes of a complex vocal learner is that we store memory through sound. Mm. And so when you reverse engineer that, we get to unlock and release trauma or memory, negative memory, through sound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've worked with Eileen Day McCusick, who's a tuning fork biofield engineer expert, and she also sees that what Tara was saying of these kind of, we call them stuck sounds in our work with her, Sing the Body Electric. And we use the voice because it's such a powerful mover of energy to access, to feel again, to release, to open up, and to clear, as if we're clearing the space mm-hmm. of heaviness, denseness.
Excellent. You know, I always use this analogy that we go through life and we have these backpacks on and they're loaded. There's a stove in there and a weight set and all this stuff from our past experiences. And then we're walking this path of life and we're wondering, why is this so damn hard? And what I'm hearing and what has really come out as you have shared so beautifully is that in essence, the voice allows you the opportunity to reach in the back of that pack. And I don't need to carry that 45-pound plate anymore from my mom or from my dad or whatever experiences grow. I don't need to carry that stove anymore. I'm going to leave them here by the pathway and further enlighten my energy, my state of being, so that I can move through life with more, less effort, with more ease, with more grace. And impact the lives of those around us, not only every cell and every fiber of our being, but just once again, bring forward that beautiful music that can enhance people around us on their journey through life.
Absolutely,
that's
Mark.
That's beautiful.
I would just add that sometimes, in order to do exactly what you said, we need to make songs out of that baggage. As well. And quite often, and I'm guilty of this in my earlier life, I almost lost my life to mental illness when I was in my 20s. And I was obsessed with trying to put down baggage and live my best life, only move to the light, you know. And yet what ultimately I had to do is also process parts of me that were things I was carrying around that needed a song. And song is by... all bias aside, the most palpable, powerful, ancestrally given medium, container, and safe place that things can be felt, seen, and made into art. And so if it calls you, I would make song out of those parts of you that are ready to be put down, because then they
I would agree
turn into these beautiful sonic opportunities for you. And
we are biased, but we kind of tend to say, stay away from, like, a, you know, it feels like the things that happen to us, we can try and remove them, let them go, walk away from them. But, you know, we also feel that that is not giving true value, you know, going down to the bottom of the ocean and finding the pearls. Or, you know, life exists in a polarity. Look at the Vesica Piscis. There's a tension of opposites within which life exists, mathematically, musically, and literally. And so and if we get rid of one of those polarities, if we get rid of the darkness, right, then, you know, can there only be light? Maybe, but not in this third dimension, perhaps. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like Tarot said, that long bag that we carry behind us, can we take out the shadows and weave it into gold, you know, through this alchemical process where the paradox also exists, you know?
You guys are speaking my language, man. No, we could obviously go on this forever down the path. I mean, I've just thoroughly enjoyed your wisdom, your insight, the fact that, you know, here we are both working with music and vibration to support people on their journey through life is amazing. You know, I know you have a program coming up called The Singer's Journey, and I was wondering if you could share a little bit about the program. I'm going to share a link in the description here so that people go and learn, you know, because I'm interested. You know, to me, I've been one of those ones who's held back singing. I sing through the guitar. That's easy, easy. Wow. Well, maybe not. I had to work through my stuff on that too, but you know, it's intriguing to me. So maybe perhaps share a little about your journey. And then, like I said, I'll put a link in the description and people can go and learn more about what you guys are bringing forward together powerfully to support people in tapping this inner part of themselves.
Thank you. Well, we thank you so much for that. And we do believe in the power of requests. And so we'll just say, if voice is calling you, you know, and how music song holds a space for your voice, we encourage you to follow it. And if we have the pleasure or privilege of being your brothers in that, we invite you to come closer. We'll tell you a bit about some of our programs, but the best way to learn about it is following that link that Mark's going to share, but also Brothers Koren, brotherskoren.com. We've never had more pathways than now, because we believe that there's something you could do for your voice at all levels. You know, you can go all the way in. We have, obviously, year-round, we do something called the Songwriter's Journey, which is our deep dive using music, song, voice, all the way to through recording, privately and in small groups. But we also have a Singer's Journey coming up, the first one of this year, in some months' time. And it's really a three-month or 11-week deep dive into ultimately reclaiming the best voice of your life. And we stand behind that because we believe that if you come home to this whole body instrument and you actually generously, courageously, willingly, with gratitude and with curiosity, lean in and explore what's gone unsounded and unfelt, that the best voice of your life bubbles to the surface, whether or not you've been holding back for 40 years or ready to find that greater singing voice. So it's 11 weeks long, and there's a lot of opportunity in a very safe environment dare to suck, which means to get back in touch with that first expressive impulse wanting to bubble up from inside you and share it with no attachment. So a lot of our work is just an alternative reframe and forming a deeper relationship that you deserve with the voice that maybe has been calling you. So thanks for sharing about that.
Well said. And no singing experience or musical experience is required. This is a behavioral approach to the voice that's full of gameplay and fun. So you know, just come and really find the joy of singing again and fall back in love with the sound of your own voice. It's unique.
That's awesome. And I invite anybody who that resonates with, who just like, whoa, that sounds really cool, go check out that link. Go explore the possibilities of bringing your voice forward in the most powerful ways and healing and transformational ways. Any final thoughts for our time together today that you guys would like to share?
Just thank you, Mark. We'll look forward to more conversations together in the future. And so happy that you're out there, and can't wait to connect with all of you listening in any way. Share your stories with us. We're here.
And please keep singing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much. It has been an honor to have both of you. Thank you for sharing your insight, your wisdom, your experience, the whole mom thing. I mean, man, New York, I mean, I can totally relate. We like, there's some synchronicity there for sure. We'll have to expand into it another time. But thank you again for being part of the program. Have a harmonious day.
You too. Thank you, Mark.